There are moments I have fallen, there are good folk I have crossed. I've had fits of needless selfishness and heeded not the cost. But each time I face the dueling winds of boundless love and loss, it is you who stands beside me as a fire against the frost. So heave away, haul away, throw your backs into the labor. We'll leave once it's given all away to join the pipe and tabor. There are thieves be doing it all for pay, but we know nothing greater than to heed the courier's call today and be better for it later.
With Teshirt behind us and Audrim Prom ahead of us, we know that there is one stop between that and this. And so we, as a crew of the Red Audrim, and as the three of you, need to decide and find out what happened between Teshirt and Audrim Prom. I am super excited to kind of figure that out with you guys real quick in this kind of interim episode between the first half of the season and the second half of the season. So here's what I would like from the three of you, from Kieran, June, and Cece. The first thing we need to do very quickly is decide and figure out what this town is. So I would like a detail about this little town or city or whatever that we arrive at between Teshirt and Audrim Prom. Does anybody have anything to begin with?
I have something.
Okay.
We are coming from Teshirt, which is a massive metropolitan urban sprawl in this canyon mesa, right? I think this town is literally, like, if you close your eyes and you picture a dead-end, one-horse, Wild West town, there's nothing here. It's tiny. It's leaning awkwardly to one side. It's dusty, and there's like, hardly anything here.
Can I name it?
Please.
Can it be called Condor's Roost?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Smash cut to Bobby Jean saying, "The arms got bit off by a condor."
Condor, condor, condor.
Condor's Roost.
We have an establishing shot, and there's just the distant screeching of a condor.
Welcome to Condor's Roost.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's a one bird town.
Oh. Yes.
There's just one
That's
bird.
That's it.
Just condors.
The condor's the mayor.
No, because that if it's Condor's Roost and there are this whole place is full of is not full, but there are probably two or three griffin condors in this area, which makes it super dangerous.
Yes.
They will and eat you or
that
dogs.
Might be the whole reason why we stop here is because everyone brings their mail to this place because they can get to Condor's Roost and then we have to distribute it. So this is a dangerous stop for us.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Love it.
Oh gosh. Okay. What is another detail? Plummy.
So we know that there's a family of griffin condors hanging out around. That's what
enormous.
Makes this place so dangerous. Enormous.
Yeah, they're like
just the biggest.
They're like 30, 40 feet tall.
Blot like, out the sky. Like if a shadow crosses over you. Oh, that's a good one. If a shadow crosses your path, it's bad luck in this town. Any shadow. Bird shadow. Audrin shadow. So at noon, people tend to kind of just stay away from outside for a little
Shadow's
bit.
Shadow's bad.
Shadow's bad.
You don't go out at high noon. I'm going to add a detail that it's in... if shadows are bad, then that doesn't work anymore. I was going to say it's in the nook of a cliff, so it's hidden, but that makes it a shadow. So
it could be at the top. It could be at the top of a cliff.
Oh yeah, it's the top of that's top of a cliff. It's literally there's a cliff edge, and it's at the top of this cliff. So
it's a vaguely nest shaped, sort of a ring.
Yep, on a cliff, ring shaped. And what is one more detail?
I have a thought.
Please.
Because these condors are so big and they're constantly like looming, you know, they can see you, they can see us, we might not be able to see them. Mm-hmm. I feel like entertainment, like, you know, like restaurants, bars, what have you, are kind of under, they're only in basements.
Yeah.
Like people can congregate in the subterranean layer of these buildings. Even if it is a one-horse town, like the saloon is down a flight of stairs. Everything, like when you walk through the town, it doesn't look like there's a lot going on or a lot of people. It's because if you look in the windows, there's no one in there because everyone's underground.
Underground. I love that.
Has anyone ever seen there are like underground shopping centers in Japan and Korea and China? Yeah. Has anybody seen those
before? There's like a whole underground like township in Australia.
Yeah. Like I
think I went to an underground mall in London.
I feel like Condor's Roost, it's a one bird town on top, but underneath it's all subterranean. Like everything else is like connected with tunnels.
Sick.
And inside the cliff. I love that. So we go to Condor's Roost. We'll say Condor's Roost is, I'm going to roll a d4 and I'm going to find out how many days away it is. Oh, it's 3 days away.
Ooh.
So it's a 3 day flight from Teshert. So you guys work for 3 days. To get to Condor's Roost. You land in Condor's Roost, and you have that rest day. And then you basically have 2 weeks of doing work here. So number one is I'm going to have each of you pull a luminary, and we will find out what happens to you here in Condor's Roost.
Love it.
Do you want us to do it all at once right now?
No. Let's do June, you first. What's your luminary?
Oh, gosh.
Boom.
Wheel of lumens, turn, turn, turn. Tell us the fate that we have earned.
Dang.
The soldiers.
Okay.
Hum.
Ho, ho, ho. Kieran, can I get yours?
Oh, yes. The Bounty.
The Bounty. That's a really good one.
Sounds fun.
The Bounty.
That's the Thornvale.
That's one. The one for Thornvale. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Cece, can I get yours?
The Sovereign.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if you guys know, I'm really good at pulling lumens.
It's numbers 1 and 2 on my skill sheet.
Okay. So the soldier, the bounty, and the sovereign. Let's do June first here. The soldiers, death, deception, memory. June, what is something that, how are you deceived here in Condor's Roost?
Condor's Roost.
What do you fall for?
It's got to be like some kind of situation where there's a local that is very vocal about how they have like a connection to the Condors, and they get the Condors in the area, and like all of the locals pretty consistently have been like, yeah, you don't mess with the Condors, don't go near the Condors, don't go looking for the Condors, just leave them alone. It's too dangerous. They're huge. They're so big you cannot imagine. Do not go looking for this. These birds, these griffins, and there's some guy in the area that's like, oh yeah, no, I've been up there. Yeah, I hand raised one of them myself, and this, that, and the other thing, and blah blah blah. And June, I think in the course of being at this stop, how long are we here?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Wow.
During the course of being at this stop in Condor's Roost, June finds out that this person is here and is making these claims. And then, you know, I think June tries to find reasons to talk to this person and kind of like get the 411 from them about these griffins and like, how do they connect with them? Like, is it a magical thing? Is it just like a horse sense kind of thing? Like what's going on? And this person takes June kind of under their wing and like, tells all these fantastic stories and all of this, that, and the other thing. And I think the reveal is that this person is completely full of it.
Do they take you out to go find them?
I think I want to say that they like make this plan to meet up and go do this thing.
So what do you pay them?
Oh yeah. Okay. It's gotta be something that something that June bought in Teshert, like one of the souvenirs that June was taking back. So like it's not something particularly fancy, but it was kind of expensive. It's like a belt or something with like a nice buckle that June had bought. And the guy's like, I'll take that belt and I'll take you up there. and June pays the guy, and then the guy never shows.
Oh,
and she doesn't go.
She doesn't get to go.
Yeah. Oh, and that... when she asks about it, the locals are like, oh, that guy? Yeah, he's a grifter.
The vocal local? Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody's like, you didn't give him anything. And she's like, well, no, no, I didn't. No, aww. I didn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Rough. Kieran, let's do you.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do more than one luminary poll.
Yeah.
For each of you. So I think this one is something that has happened. We'll do one for work, and then we'll do one for like something that happens on the boat, like between the rest of the crew. The bounty.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find it. Where are you, Bounty?
Bounty.
Bounty, where are you? I cannot find you. The bounty.
Hit that control F.
The bounty. Wealth, plenty, generosity.
I know.
What happens?
I think the fact that this is an underground metropolis, to me, it feels like a great place to host a black market just in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of black market that Kieran cannot resist getting their fingers on. There's just a lot of cool...
Do you go on a stealing spree?
That's where I'm going with this.
Even after the captain admonished you?
Yes! It's hard to... I think it's the kind of spree that it's just hard for Kieran to resist. Everywhere they turn, there is a shopkeeper with just, like, the coolest looking trinkets. Like, here's a brooch that looks like a cicada, and if you touch it here, it will fly on its own. And it's just like, what? That's amazing.
Here's the other thing. We know from Tesh-Urt, Kieran, that you lifted a diamond bracelet off of the...
Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah, I did.
The manager general of the city.
I still have it.
So the thing is, you either kept that or you liquidated it and used it to buy black market stuff.
I think I'm about to barter it.
Okay, you barter that thing away.
Yeah.
I'm super, super interested to see. What's your barter real quick? Like, what's your stat that you can use here? Choose a stat, just a regular stat. Okay. I think it's either clever or fair. It's up to you.
Let me zoom over real quick.
It's a D8.
Or a D8 or a D6. I like clever.
All right. Roll just a regular D8 and tell me the number.
Okay. Got one. A 7.
Oh, that's super high on that. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, Kieran, I imagine that there's a point during these 2 weeks where you learn about the black market, go into the black market, and you spend like an evening bartering around,
mm-hmm.
and you get, let's find out. Oh gosh, Kieran, you got 6 silver bars out.
Oh.
You got 6 silver bars and 1 gold bar.
Love it, love it, love it.
Kieran, this is a fortune. Like,
yeah.
Kieran, this is so much money.
Huh? Why would they ever stop if it only benefits them?
Yeah, seriously. I'm seeing no consequences to my actions that are negative.
Oh my gosh.
Drew, give me that bread one more time.
1 gold bar and 6 silver bars.
Wow.
They're full bars too. Like, yeah. They haven't been chopped into bits. Like,
it's not fun money anymore.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. So you need to tell me what you buy from the black market.
Oh my god, I'm not. There's no way I'm spending all of this money.
Okay.
I think Kieran holds on to the gold bar for sure. It probably is only going to end up spending like 1 or 2 silver bars on something.
Okay.
I
mean, again, a full silver bar was what was paid from Otterbox to the Audryn for the official mail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, all that work. Like, they gave you a huge crate, a big crate full of official mail that had to be moved around.
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
entire
that was a lot
town
of labor.
Paid you 1 silver bar for it.
I think one silver bar does go into the Audrin box of like.
Okay, here's the question then. Do you sneak in and put it in there, or do you give it to somebody?
I did get in trouble last time I snuck in, and I don't think I'm still not allowed in the captain's quarters by myself, am I?
No, you're not. You explicitly said that.
Yeah. I think Kieran finds a lower ranking. Oh, it's Bran.
Yeah. Oh, Bran.
I see the scene. Bran's probably just minding his business, and Kieran's just like, "Hey, Bran, found this," and just procures a silver bar.
Kieran, where did you get this gold bar?
I don't. Okay, so I think it should go into the box, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'll do that. But where did you get it?
I found it.
You found it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I'm not gonna not believe you.
It was just in the lower decks, like.
Wait, you found it on the Audrin? there's a long pause, and Bran goes, "Kieran, he looks around. There's nobody around. He looks at you. Where did you get this?
Okay.
I'm not gonna turn you into the captain. Just okay. Where did you get it?
Do you promise? Do you pinky?
Yeah, I promise. And he like. He, you see him raise his, you know, he only has three fingers on his left hand.
Yeah.
And he holds up those three fingers. He's like, "Swear to the lumens."
Kieran hooks their pinky onto one of their fingers, his fingers, and swears. Okay. So I traded something for that and a couple others.
Okay.
And I thought that some of it should go towards the Audrin for I don't know, repairs or something.
No, that's fine. Yeah, just give it to me. I'll make up something for the captain.
They very gingerly put it in his upturned hand.
And he wraps his three fingers around it, and he holds it for a bit and he goes, "Did you get any more?" That's a yes. That's a definite yes.
Okay, but you can't tell anyone because the rest of it's mine.
I'm not gonna tell anybody. Oh yeah, in your inventory you can get rid of that diamond bracelet.
Okay.
I'm not gonna tell anybody. I promise. Hey, I notice. And he points at your harpoon dagger, and he goes, "I notice. You don't really know how to use that."
Yeah. I mean, I could be better.
And he reaches back and he pulls out his sheep shear daggers.
Oh.
His sheep shear daggers, and he flips it in his hand and flips it around a bunch of different times.
Yeah.
I'll and he goes, "You give me a silver bit and I'll teach you."
I think I can do that, but I don't have bits right now. I can give it to you when we get going again.
That's fine. And he winks at you and goes, "I'll hold you to it."
Yeah.
And he goes off to go tell the captain a story. And now you're going to learn knife fighting from Bran.
Yeah. Awesome.
So you spend a silver bar.
Yes. So I'm down to 6 silver bars.
You're down to 5.
I'm down to 5.
Because you just gave one away.
5, right.
You started with 6. You're down to 5. So tell me what else you buy.
I think Kieran buys... Little accessories, nice, expensive accessories for themselves and their friends for prom.
Okay. I'm going to say that a bunch of little expensive accessories are going to cost 2 silver bars.
2 silver bars?
And that's for you, for Kieran. You are Kieran. It's for you. It's for June. It's for Cece. Anybody else?
Bran.
Okay.
And Ruby.
Okay. I think that's going to cost you 2 silver bars. So
Okay.
And you can get rid of that silver bit in your inventory too, because you're going to give that to Bran. Okay. And that's what I think. That's the major thing that happens to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that you are flush with cash.
Yeah.
From Goodness. I mean, you rolled the bounty. It makes sense.
It's so much money. No child should have this much money. They're going to spend
child.
It so irresponsibly. Just so irresponsibly. And it hurts my heart.
Cece, let's take care of yours.
Where's okay. So the it? Sovereign. What does that mean?
Sovereign. Domination. Nobility. Law. Like before, where you got caught by the Red Feathers. I don't think the Red Feathers have any stake in this town. I think it's too small. And I think the area is a little too dangerous for them to kind of set up shop here. So what I think happens is you either meet nobility of some kind or you get mixed up in the law again.
I would like to meet nobility.
Okay.
I'm tired of the law hassling Cece. Okay. You know? Cece's an outlaw.
Who is this noble that you find?
So in Condor's Roost, what they are known for is their hot springs. Because if it's subterranean, things bubble up from underneath. And they have like cool little underground hot spring hangouts and stuff. And it's been Mariner purified. But it's like hot springs, it's spa stuff. I think of crystals and stones. I'm thinking very like American West kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this person is, this kind of like nobility, it's a social nobility where this is the person who has all the crystals or like, oh, this is the person who like has access to the crystal mine or like a crystal tree or whatever fantasy thing we want to do.
I love that. It's either that or they own the hot springs.
Yes.
I love that. Let's just say that they own both. That's what we're doing. So it's this person who owns the hot springs and also grows crystals in those hot springs.
Ooh, okay. So now you're cooking here because that tells me that the hot springs like can produce crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's sick.
So they own the hot springs. There's like a spa thing going on there as well. And they also grow these crystals that like everyone wears them. Everyone wears them here. They're a major accessory.
Yeah.
That people have like different types and shapes and sizes. And they're like, there's a lot of like crystal energy type things.
We love
here.
A major accessory.
We love a major accessory. And I think honestly, part of it is a superstition about the Condors. Someone once capitalized on like this gem. Condors don't like it to look at it, and so you wear it to keep them away.
It resonates, and it makes them go away.
Yes, and like the shadow, maybe it's like if the sun shines off this crystal, like it gets in their eyes or something like that, and they don't come and swoop down and, I don't know, gobble you up or whatever. Maybe.
I love it. So what's the name of this person?
This person's name is... Sarah Shatterstar.
Shatterstar.
That's a good name.
Thank you. So S-A-R-A,
of the Condor Roost Shatterstars.
Of course, of course.
Shara is, let's roll and find out how old they are. Shara's like in their 50s.
Great.
They're an older, what do you say, pronouns go with them?
Oh, let me roll a dice.
Roll that pronoun die.
I got a 3. So she, her. It would be 1 to 2, he, him, 3 to 4, she, her, and then 5, 6, they, them, by the way. For all you noobs out there.
All my fantasy children.
Shara Shatterstar, she, her.
Shara Shatterstar?
Shara Shatterstar.
Or is it Sara Shatterstar? Can it be Sara? Just so it doesn't sound like Shatterstar.
Yeah, Sara. I'm sorry. Sara. I'm sorry. Sara Shatterstar. She, her. What I want you to do is I'd love for you to roll for me either a kind or fair.
Wait, what?
On your character sheet. Your attributes, kind or fair, they're both a d6, so it really, you just get to choose the method that you are trying to, that you talk to this person. I would love to see how you make friends with them, or if you do.
I'm going to go with fair.
Okay.
So rolling a d6?
Roll a d6.
I'm not on the CC page. Hold on. There we go. Oh, I got a two. You know me. I'm not good at making friends.
So what I think is, I think you don't make friends with Sara. I feel like Sara slights you in some way. That I think it's that thing that keeps coming up, that like you're just a kid. You're just like this kid that shows up and you are what? It's like the bookseller in Teshirt.
Yeah. But they're not buying what I'm selling, and it's a bummer.
And I think that instead of letting it go like you did in Teshirt, you double down.
Yeah, absolutely. I want a crystal. I want one.
Yeah. So I want to ask, how do you get around Sara and get a crystal?
How I get around Sara? Oh, I do odd jobs. I do odd jobs for her. Okay. I want one so bad that Cece is actually willing to work for it.
Okay.
Shocking,
awesome.
I know. But she does
so
tasks.
That means that you finish
stop the
work
presses.
And then you go and you work in the hot springs, and she like you she has you doing a Chihiro from Spirited Away where you clean tubs.
Yes.
And wipe down floors.
Oh,
can I
put a twist on this?
Yeah, please.
I have to clean the tubs and stuff, and over time, I'm making my own crystal because the tubs produce them. So, like, you take the scrapings of the hot spring, and like it leaves probably like a sediment, mm-hmm. and over time, like you put the sediment in a jar, and it condenses and solidifies into a crystal.
Yeah, but you need to like keep adding the sediment, so you keep going back to work and get it. So you get around it by working. I mean, it's a very Spirited Away thing where I think like Sara looks like Yababa.
Yes.
And there's a whole thing where she runs this elaborate bathhouse, hot springs, crystal emporium. And you get
name.
A job there to steal sediment so you can grow your own crystal.
Oh, baby. And I have this jar. So at the end, she's like, all right, it's time for you to like, you know, all right, Cece, you've been putting in that work. And I think like it's very Cinderella where like she's treating me bad. She's not particularly nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end, she's like, okay, Cece, you did all this work. You were grinding. And when I think payday's coming, when I think I'm about to get that fat paycheck, she pulls out this like dime sized crystal. But I have one that's like the size of a large mason jar. And I'm like, oh, you thought. Joke's on you. I've been making one myself.
I think one of the cool things is that the way that these crystals work is you put it in a jar and you actually make like a crystal jar.
Yes.
So you have it grow like around, it grows like around the jar and makes a crystal. So like you get rid of the glass and you now have this crystal jar.
Oh, sick.
What color is it? I think it's green.
Ooh, it's like a nice emerald or a peridot?
Like a peridot.
Nice, my birthstone. So I'm with it. I mean, Cece's birthstone. She was born in August too.
So you get a peridot green crystal jar.
Nice. And I hold it up to the sky, and it goes da na na na.
Perfect. So that's something you have from here on out.
Sick.
I feel so bad, June. You didn't get anything. As a matter of fact, you lost something.
Yeah, excellent. No, I feel like the last time we pulled Luminaries 2, I was like, it's okay. And like, get punched, get back up, get punched, get back up.
And y'all were like,
I did this and I did that. And I met these people. And Cece went to prison because she got press ganged.
Yeah,
and it was so much
true.
Fun. And June's like got scars and bruises and stuff.
June, do you tell anybody about this Vocal Local?
No.
Okay.
I think in the beginning when she's hopeful about it, she wants to tell Kieran and Cece, but she decides not to, just to keep it on the down low so that they don't get in trouble too, in case, you know, in case she gets in trouble for like trying to do this thing, right? But she thinks that it's going to move her forward in her understanding of like the bird magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's kind of like keeping it close to the chest. And then when the guy ghosts her, she is too embarrassed to tell anyone that it happened.
Okay.
And I think if either of them comments on the belt being gone, she says that it fell down a crack and is gone.
Okay.
you know, the way things fall down cracks in the ground and just disappear forever.
You know,
totally. Like,
normal thing.
That's the way it happens.
Completely unretrievable.
Completely. All right. We're going to pull one more luminary each, and this is going to be for, like, work.
Okay.
Because it's dangerous out here. I want to see what happens to you guys.
Yeah,
so pull one more, each of you. We'll start with June.
The tide.
I got the boat.
The boat.
Ooh.
Sick.
The boat.
The boot.
This area is dangerous in the sense that there is several large condors that hunt this area. Mm. And the condors are usually, they're scavengers, right? Is that?
They're like big vultures.
Hold on. I'm going to find out. Condors.
Pause. For zoology.
Condors hunt?
It's generally considered the largest bird of prey in the world. Great. Yeah, primarily a scavenger feeding on carrion. It prefers large carcasses.
Okay. So here's the thing. They don't hunt, but there is some like large, there's something large that lives out here in like this desert, basically, or this like arid, this, I feel like it's high desert. So it's just arid. Yeah. It's an arid plain, basically. Something big lives out here. And oh, it's a sandworm.
Mm. Gotta have a sandworm.
It's like a tremor-esque worm thing that's out here.
Gotta love it.
And those things like come to the surface to die. And when they do, these condors eat them. But the condors are very territorial. So if anything else shows up like a skyship, they try to like take it down and keep their territory. So this is a dangerous place to do this job, to fly anywhere. Because the job is so dangerous, this is what happens to each of you doing your job. Because I feel like there's so much to do that everyone rides this stop. It's not just Fenton and Braith going mm-hmm. out. And that's the other thing. Braith is also gone.
Oh, yeah.
You guys get back on the boat and head on off to Condor's Roost, and Braith is just gone. And the captain makes an announcement that Braith had to head on out to do a job, and they won't be back until prom. Mm. So you're down a person on the boat, and now you're in a place where everyone rides, like, every day. So there's a lot of bird riding to deliver mail to these tiny little outposts, these tiny little settlements that are around Condor's Roost. June, the tide, cycles, shifting fortunes, change. So knowing that like you lost this, you were grifted by this guy, this person, how do your fortunes change for the better, June?
Mm.
In the context of work and that you're writing every day.
Okay. In the context of working in this area for these 2 weeks, and that we're riding every day, I think when we get to Condor's Roost, it starts off with June being assigned to a bunch of other birds. Mm. Like, I think she has a turn with Royal, the toucan, and one with Comedia, and one with Riptide. And she's sort of like, she is past the point in bird riding, I think, on the Audren, where she takes it personally, like who's assigned where. She just like too much has happened, and they've done too much work, and she doesn't take that personally anymore. She's sort of like, okay, yeah, and she is entrusted with a bunch of different birds in succession. And then I think after this grift happens, and she's like, well, I can't sink any lower, she starts being assigned the Saker Falcon mm-hmm. every time they go out. And the first time it happens, she's surprised but excited, and then it keeps happening. And after it keeps happening a few times, I think she starts to wonder specifically why. And I think there's some exchanges of looks with Fenton when these assignments go out.
What do you think Fenton's, what does she look like when you're looking at her. Is she upset? Is she like knowing? What do you think?
Like in this montage of the work, she, I think she looks to Fenton to see what Fenton is doing. And I think, if anything, June projects that Fenton is uncomfortable, but like won't let on because she's an older apprentice. She's been around longer. So she is.
Okay. Then we're going to leave it as a mystery to what Fenton feels about this when it comes to the Sacred Falcon is suddenly being assigned to you and you specifically. And there is no indication or reason as to why Fenton would no longer be assigned to this Sacred Falcon. But that is the way it's shook out. You can tell that Fenton is upset, but you don't know if it's with you or with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
How is it flying this Sacred Falcon?
It's different at first. I think the first couple of times that June flew the Sacred Falcon way back, there was like this wildness to the bird, this like unpredictability to the bird. And I think the bird has changed and June experiences that firsthand, that that having worked with Fenton and with other riders, the bird has changed in attitude and like demeanor. But, you know, the personality is still the same deep down. And so June is thrilled to be able to sort of like work with the bird personally now and see that personality coming out instead of just the wildness and the fear that was there initially.
June.
Yes.
What's a sick stunt you pull on this Sacred Falcon at one point?
Oh, it's got to be the Rescuers Down Under move where the bird is flying and June is on the Sacred Falcon's back and something falls, like a package falls or something, or like a bundle of packages falls, and June jumps off the Falcon to catch it midair, and the Falcon does like a barrel roll over June mid-fall and then catches her underneath.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so, so cool. And I love that, like, let's say that is towards the end of being at the Roost,
mm-hmm.
And Condor's Roost, and the two of you have really gained, like, an understanding and a relationship and a trust. I just keep imagining that Fenton's salty about this. Again, you don't know if she's upset with you, but you coming back every day riding the Sacred Falcon, your hair windblown and a smile on your face and the bird like nuzzles you. You can tell maybe Fenton is a little jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do Kieran and Cece. I'm going to lump you two together.
Ooh,
because
lumps.
It is the boat and it is together. So let's find out.
Let's get it.
The boat. Opportunity, freedom, labor. Fortune awaits those who seek it, but only with blood and sweat. These 2 weeks are tough for you guys. I feel like the two of you are doubled up on a bird. Like every day, you guys are riding double saddle, basically. Because you guys are going out with larger packages. And so this is going to be what, tell me some of the things, tell me how you guys are working really hard. But tell me how you guys feel freedom in the rest of these 2 weeks during this job.
I have a thing.
Sure.
Go for it.
We have these birds and we're doing our bicycle built for two act on our big bird. But I feel like there's that. So personal story moment is like, I used to work for the township and like cut the grass and mm-hmm. you would take the car when you were done and go like hide somewhere behind a tree and sleep and no one cared. So mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, I was 20. And so I feel like there are moments where we're flying and we're doing this work, these deliveries or whatever we're doing, but we make time to be like, let's go hide and we park the bird somewhere and we like play a game or sing songs and hang out and bond.
Well, the town's situated on a cliff edge, so we kind of like just do swoops through whatever ravine or canyon there is there. And yeah, like we very specifically work together to find efficiencies, essentially. I'm just like, all right, if we do it this way, it'll shave 5 minutes off. And if we multiply that by 10, like, it's that kind of like mathematics.
We become time thieves. So good. We become time thieves. Like, Denison is like, you have 1 hour to finish this. We figure out how to get it done in 15 minutes. So yeah, then we have 45 minutes to, like, I think in this moment, we come up with a cool secret handshake.
Yes.
And, like, we're hanging out at this canyon, like, throwing rocks into, like, the canyon and skipping it and seeing echoing. And in that moment, I feel like we think of a cool handshake that I'm doing right now, but you can't see.
I can see.
I love the idea that, like, you guys do joy rides on your bird, like, through the canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're slacking. Bad.
Yeah, it's so good.
We work twice as hard so we can slack twice as much.
Yes, which is kind
incredible.
That's my, you know, that's my whole game in real life. So.
Yeah, that's how I'm trying to be. Listen.
I'm trying to get this bicycle built for two June and CC. Trying to get this bicycle built for two Kieran and CC slack a workaholic game.
Love it.
I love it. And I think you guys do some pretty sick racing through these canyons. And I think at one point you are chased by a condor.
Oh!
And you have to pull like a Beggar's Canyon back home situation where you guys lose him in this canyon that you guys have just joyrided through the entire time you guys are here.
Slacking
and when
and
the chips are down, it's because you did all that you... You
exactly. Do. We pull up alongside the condor and we have our bird and we're like, and it means we're ready to race. And the condor locks eyes with us and we're like, Curious we lock eyes with like... it. Yeah. And then
you turn the speakers up.
Yeah. We turn the speakers on full blast and Way Hey 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 Ho comes on. But it's like the remix because we're young and cool.
Our bird starts bumping.
Yeah. And like Kieran's driving and Cece's making a TikTok in the back, like holding up the phone. Oh, and like, God. we are stunting on this bird. And the bird is like, bah! Like, you know, just perplexed. Like, how are they so talented? And it's like, oh, joke's on you. We haven't been working at all, but we have gotten really good at racing. And then we pull up to June. Like the Akira slide, and we're like, sup, just raced a bird.
Sick.
And I feel like after all this fun that has happened, all this good stuff, you guys pack up and you leave Condor's roost.
Condor's hard to say. Like
Condor.
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 We leave Condor's roost.
Welcome to Corndog's Boost. No.
Ooh. Okay. So Corndog's Boost is the name.
Corndog.
Corndog's Boost is the name of the only restaurant in town.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just corndogs.
Different kinds of corndogs.
There's different type. I mean, it's a local delicacy. The dog fritters. Of corn. The sausage fritter.
It's a it's a statue of a dog made completely out of deep fried corn. So it's a corn dog.
It's a weird town. And we see you guys leave, and you guys fly 4 days to get to where this next place is. Where
boy, are my arms tired.
Amazing.
And that's Condor's Roost, guys.
Woo! We beat it.
We beat it. We beat the level.
We beat Condor's Roost. So heave away, haul away, throw your backs into the labor. We'll leave once it's given all away to join the pipe and tabor. There are thieves be doing it all for pay, but we know nothing greater than to heed the courier's call today and be better for it later.